The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Have the changes in the banking industry affected you? With the looming possibility that your local bank branch might disappear and more web, mobile, and social technologies, what will the changes mean for you and your business? Welcome to Breaking Banks with your host, Brett King. The possibility that banking is no longer a place you go, but just something that you do, has become very real. Now, here is Brett King.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. We're live today. I'm sitting in New York. We have people from all around the country in the U.S. here today joining us. Today, the topic of discussion today is the upcoming Finovate show, which is happening in New York City on the 10th and 11th of September. This is their fall event. Now, Finovate, since their start, they started in San Francisco. But I'm going to introduce Eric Mattson, who's the CEO of Finovate, in a moment. He's going to talk about that. But now they're in Asia, in Europe, and of course they have the West Coast and the East Coast approach. Now, Finovate's become something of a sort of a catch cry for innovation in the fintech space, particularly in the US. But this platform itself, these sorts of platforms are very important. If you look at great innovations, things like Foursquare and Twitter, you know, these companies were launched at, you know, South by Southwest. You have TechCrunch. You have other platforms like this that are available to the innovation space, to the industry in general, to technology companies in general. But in the fintech space, now, this takes a particular set of skill sets. One of the things I've always maintained is that you're not going to get a couple of kids in a garage in Silicon Valley start up the Facebook of banking, because the learning curve, the hurdle you have to get over from a knowledge and a network and a compliance and legal perspective is significant. So there is an argument to be had that if you are going to create real, sustainable, systemic innovation in the financial services space, that you need platforms like Finovate to get this stuff done. And this is really, really key to get into. So today we're going to talk about Finovate, the history of Finovate, and the upcoming show in New York. Let me at this point introduce Eric Mattson. Eric, you're the CEO of Finovate. Tell me a bit about yourself, how you got into this. Tell me a bit about the history of how you and Jim came to this, and give us some background on it.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, I am an entrepreneurial guy sort of by training, and at one point connected with Jim Breeny, who is a respected industry analyst in banking technology and has been for almost 20 years now. And at one point we were collaborating on a variety of things, and he said, "I've always wanted to do a conference," and I thought we should do something really cool. And so we sat down and brainstormed, and really his inspiration and what he most liked was these demo focused conferences. So no slides, really fast paced, focused on the cutting edge of innovation. And that's what Finovate is. So we threw together an event in the fall of 2007, our first one. And then, and since then, as you pointed out in your intro, have expanded to Asia and to Europe. And we have obviously the two coasts. The first year, I think we had 200-ish people at the first show with 20 companies. This year, we're going to have close to 3,500 to 4,000 people across the four shows. So, you know, we have a unique sort of format where we select the best financial and banking technology innovators out there. We put them on stage. We give them 7 minutes, and we say, "Tell us how you're creating the future." And then we pack the room with everyone who can help make that future a reality, whether it's, you know, banks, whether it's regulators, whether it's venture capitalists, whether it is big fintech companies that might want to partner, or big tech companies that might want to partner. So really our goal is to bring together all of the people who could be catalysts in making that future a reality and put them in one room and help these new fintech innovations gain that critical momentum to go big, essentially.
So the companies that come along to Finnovate, what stage are these companies at? Is it startups? Is it vendors? Is it technology players? Give us a little bit of a feel about the mix of the sort of organizations that demo at Finnovate.
We span the gamut of from new ideas, two guys in a garage, as you point out, to large established players like the PayPals of the world, the Visas of the world. We are more concerned with big innovations that we think are going to make an impact and really creative innovations. And sometimes that comes from a large player. And sometimes that comes from a scrappy young startup and everywhere in between. Because what we really care about is the innovation and less about the source of it. Because we really want to find that next great idea that is going to change things.
So what happens in between the shows? I mean, because the shows are obviously the catalyst, but, how's this community working now, do you think, in terms of, keeping the news out there about the companies that have demoed at Finnovate and sort of keeping up with the progress of this community?
Mm-hmm. We do a fair amount to try and keep up with the community at Finnovate.com. We have a very active blog and several writers who follow the alumni who have presented at Finnovate, tracking their successes, new customer wins, new partnerships, funding raised, new product launches. So we do a lot to sort of help people track this group of companies. I think the thing that is most interesting to me, and we'll get into this later in the show, is when you talk to alumni who have come to our show and hear about, yes, we came and it took us months to sort through all of the different ways we gathered momentum. And this impacted us in this way, and this impacted us in this way. And to me, that's incredibly meaningful in terms of our vision of driving innovation in the industry and being a catalyst is to actually hear from those people as between the shows.
Yeah, I think, from our own experience with Moovin, demoing at Finnovate ourselves, the other aspect was really about the networking opportunity this brings, because you've got such a diverse community, but they're all within the financial services space. The networking opportunity is significant. There's opportunities for fundraising. I know ourselves, you're familiar with Eric, the recent deal we did with Life Schrader. This actually came out of a chance meeting with the Lush Raider guys at the Finnovate London event. So, this networking element, how do you encourage this? For the companies that come along and demo, what would you say to a company that's thinking about demoing at Finnovate? How do they get the biggest bang for their buck? How do they get make the most out of this event?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that because Finnovate has this unique format where it's very focused on the companies that we select. Each company only gets 7 minutes to do their demonstration, but they get 7 minutes in front of everyone. This isn't a breakout room. This isn't I've got a couple dozen people and I'm on a panel somewhere. This is pitching 1,000+ people at the New York event next week who can add value to your business in a multitude of ways.
Really, really on message, really on target. You've got to have that really down pat.
Exactly. And some of that is you've got to build something really cool to start with, right?
Yeah.
But beyond that, nailing your demo in front of 1,000 people, when you can get that sort of traction, that sort of exposure, and then we have, what some of you would consider sort of a trade show floor, but it's only got a few dozen booths on it. And right. So take 1,000 people who have just been hooked by your great pitch and your cool technology and dump them into a place where there's only a few dozen booths at any given moment. Everyone's been to a trade show where there's 500 booths and it stretches as far as the eye can see.
Oh.
And you see all these exhibitors standing around hoping someone will walk by their booth. Finovate has the opposite problem, which is, you know, almost that reverse ratio of there's too many good conversations to have. And right. So, you know, and that we designed it that way because we just think it's a better format for companies to come and gain that critical momentum.
So tell me about the 7-minute demo. How did you come up with that?
It's a format that we've seen in the past. There's a well-known general technology company called our general technology show called Demo that did this from the early 90s on. But they always sort of were so broad in their focus that I think it was hard for some people to see the value. By taking it and focusing on financial technology, we think we made it very powerful because every single demo is relevant either directly or peripherally to the audience members.
So tell me about the companies that have, you know, the alumni. Tell me about the companies that you've really enjoyed seeing their progress since they started at Finovate. And, you know, what are some of the most impactful moments from your point of view in terms of the history of the show?
You know, we have seen, it's been very interesting. So we've been doing this for about 6 years. And
that long already?
That long, amazingly. Wow. It's interesting to see the innovation curves in financial technology versus, you know, general consumer technology. The Twitters or the Instagrams that go from $0 to $1 billion in a year, right?
Yeah.
But in financial technology, it takes so much longer. And so I think a lot of our stories haven't even played out yet. But, you know, Mint.com was at the first Finovate in 2007. They obviously have done very well and grown to 10 million plus users, you know, and sold to Intuit. Page Once, which is now, I believe, calling themselves Check, same thing, done very well, grown to 10 million plus users. Two incredible consumer stories. Lending Club, you know, weathered the regulatory storm around peer-to-peer lending, appears to be preparing to IPO. You know, huge success stories that have happened over the last 6 years, even in the face of, you know, what was a tremendous economic downturn there for a while. But I think for me, it's also the more recent stories. And we're going to hear a couple of these from FlexScore and Finance It later in the show of just what the impact can be even in the short term for these companies and the traction that they're getting. And I love these success stories. So, you know, the FlexScore president and then the two of the executives from Finance It can tell this even better than I can.
Okay, so tell me about the New York show. I know it's coming up on the 10th and 11th. Give us a little bit more details. If someone wants to come to the show, if they haven't been there before, what do they do right now? And then tell me about some of the stuff I can expect to see at the show coming up next week.
Sure. So the good news on one side is that the show is sold out at the moment. We have reached maximum capacity, almost to breaking, and it's going to be an amazing...
Is it at the Jarvis Center again?
No, we moved to a place called the Manhattan Center, which is, people may recognize the name, the Hammerstein Ballroom, which is it's about 100-year-old amazing theater space that we've moved into. Right now, if someone would like to attend, they can send us an email at fall@finovate.com and we'll get them on the wait list.
Okay.
In terms of what to expect, a packed house of pretty amazing audience members watching over the course of 2 days, over 70 new innovations debut. And we've got things that are innovating in mobile, biometric security, artificial intelligence, gamification, some really neat new lending models, some really, neat user interface innovations, some customer service innovations. I mean, we run the full spectrum of, you know, leveraging some of the biggest trends in the industry, as well as, you know, a number of strategic imperative areas for banks and the financial industry. So it's really going to be an exciting couple of days.
Excellent, excellent. So, tell me, you know, you mentioned Jim before as well. So Jim's your partner in this?
Jim is my partner in this. I think that we have a very good synergy. His knowledge of the industry is top notch, having, you know, observed it for 20 years as the publisher of Online Banking Report, and NetBanker, his blog, And, you know, I bring a little bit of the event organizing magic to the table. And so we've seen that combo lead to where we are today, from one show to four, and really an amazing global footprint.
Absolutely. So, you know, you guys now, you know, you follow the sun, you have your presence in Asia, your show in London's been going. This is the third year, I think, is it?
It's our third year in London, our second year in Singapore. You know, the U.S. shows have been around. This is our seventh New York show and sixth San Francisco this year. So, you know,
fantastic.
We've really seen a tremendous innovation curve over the last 5 or 6 years, and it's exciting to imagine what comes in the next 5 or 6.
Excellent, excellent. So, Eric, stick around. After the break, we're going to speak to Casper and Michael from Finance It. And we're going to talk about, you know, what they're going to do demo up at the Finovate show in New York coming up next week, and a bit more about their company. You're with Breaking Banks.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Thanks for joining us again at Breaking Banks this week. We're talking Finovate, financial innovation, fintech, these hubs of innovation that are occurring in the financial services space today. One of the things we're looking at is, you know, the lending market, P2P. In the previous segment, Eric mentioned LendingClub, who's just been a phenomenal breakout P2P lending player in the market here in the US, which started their journey. Part of their journey started, obviously, out at Finovate as well. One of the other companies that's at Finovate New York this coming week, next week, is Finance It. And I understand you guys used to be called Community Lend, but let's introduce Casper Wong and Michael Garrity. Casper, Michael, can you guys introduce yourselves and tell us about the company?
Sure. Thanks for that introduction. Yes, we did used to be in the P2P lending space. We were the only peer-to-peer lending company that was authorized by the regulators in Canada to operate in this market space. But along the path of operating that platform, we got much more interested in an area of consumer lending that seemed to have a lot more activity around it, around sales finance. So we created a technology platform called Finance It, which enables point of sale financing programs for merchants that are selling big ticket items. So these can be cars, it could be an RV, it could be a boat, it could be a big screen television. So we have about 2,600 merchants across Canada that have enabled the Finance It platform at point of sale. We've got a mobile extension to that platform that decouples it from a physical computer and allows the merchant to sell a big ticket item out in the field, on a shop floor, in someone's driveway, let's say for a home improvement financing. So that's what we do today. We showed the first example of that to the world through Finovate last year, and we're back again this year to unveil some new technology.
So this is interesting. So the first company we're featuring today is actually a Canadian company. If you guys are interested in Finance It, you can go to their website. It's .ca, financeit.ca, not .com. And you guys, as you said, you had 2,600 merchant partners throughout Canada. How is the innovation space in fintech different in Canada than it is from, say, in New York or San Francisco, guys?
Yeah, so it's a very good question, and you opened up the show today, I thought, with a great insight around how, you know, complex and difficult it is to be an operator in the financial services industry. This is not something you do out of your bedroom, and launch the next, you know, consumer-facing application. There are regulatory constraints, there are operational and compliance constraints on almost every attribute of people who operate in the sphere of lending money to people, accepting personal and private information about people in order to run a credit bureau score, documenting a loan that meets up with compliance at a state or, in Canada, a provincial level. So we started off our life here focused on innovating in the Canadian marketplace, but we are in the process of launching the service in the United States. We currently think it should be live by Q1 of 2014. So a big part of our focus isn't just on innovating here in Canada, which is where we started, but on innovating for our industry category across North America.
So I had a question just come in from Twitter. Adam Edge, who's actually based in Vancouver, which shows you this show gets out, gets some traction in Canada as well. He said, how do you guys overcome the consumer's concerns over data management when they disclose their credit details?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's Casper here. I'm the COO of Finance It. At a very high level, we basically have to go through a very rigorous process through the credit bureaus to be able to even begin accessing a consumer's personal data. They audit you to make sure you're compliant with the regulations. And then, you know, on the credit side, we authorize the credit pull, just like when you apply for a mortgage or a loan, and we verify that you sign, and we timestamp that, and we lock it in a digital vault to make sure that it was you who gave the authorization. And then on the back end, we have the data vaulting and many layers of bank-grade security to protect your information.
Great. So tell us about what you guys have planned for Finovate next week. What day are you demoing?
Well, I think we're demoing on day one, right? Eric, I think we're in the morning on the first day?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you for that.
You should probably check that out.
Yeah, we're kicking off 10:30 on the first day. Last year we were right after lunch, and a few people, you know, didn't come in because they're busy eating. This year, Eric was kind enough to get up, give us a morning slot on the first day.
Good, good. So you guys are on the morning of the 10th. Tell us about what you're going to demo and what your objectives are.
Sure. So, you know, we actually use this show as a showcase of what's next for us. So I think to Eric's credit, and to their team's credit, to Jim and Eric's credit, on putting this show together, it really has become an iconic show for us to say, guys, the next coolest thing that we're working on, Finovate is going to be the show that we're going to unveil this at, because of the quality of the audience that's there and the kind of profile that we can create as a result of those types of announcements. So this year, we're unveiling our beta of the system that we've got. We'll really call it an e-commerce enabler for big ticket purchases. So essentially today, the way that our system works is that it's an in-store experience. when you go inside of a store, or, you know, the merchant is out in the field using our mobile technology that we unveiled last year, the experience has to happen physically in order to apply for and get accepted on our financing program. We were finding some feedback from a number of our merchants who said, you know, we've got e-commerce sites as well, even for big ticket items like a car or a home improvement, an install of a new roof or doors and windows. They're big ticket purchases. We don't want them on credit cards because of the fees, or even because the people don't have that kind of room on their credit cards. The bill me laters of the world don't provide that type of technology enablement for a big ticket purchase, because there's a cap always on how much you can put through one of those online financing programs. So we think we're going to be the only people in North America who are going to provide an embeddable payment process, in essence, that relies on sales finance to get an e-commerce transaction for a big ticket purchase enabled through any e-commerce platform's website. And so we're going to outline what we call and show the embeddable consumer-facing loan application at the Finovate show.
So what has Finovate done for you in the past, you know, in terms of exposure, in terms of customer acquisition or visibility? What do you guys feel that Finovate's done for you as a platform?
So we kind of identify three components of what makes Finovate a no-brainer show for us to apply for every year. Because you do need to get accepted, right? Not just everyone can go and present. You actually have to get accepted by their board in order to be allowed on there. The first thing it does, as I just mentioned, is it becomes a place for us to focus on how are we going to get the coolest thing that we want to show down to 7 minutes. And I, as you might already have been able to experience, have a tendency to pack more words in than I necessarily need to in any pitch. So getting a finely tuned 7-minute demonstration that is impactful in front of an audience is an amazing exercise for us.
Tell me about that exercise. Tell me about how you prep for that. You know, do you do dry, you know, I mean, obviously you do dry runs for the timing, but, you know, how do you, 7 minutes is not a lot when you're demoing some software. How do you choose what you're going to show? How do you script that? You know, do you have it written out so that you actually just read from a script, or is it a little bit free flow?
Yeah, so I think back to the answer, to tie it all together, Finovate for us, getting concise with the stage show, really for us is how to make us think very strategically about our product roadmap, and makes us be very, very focused on defining, you know, you're a startup and in front of you there's, you know, hundreds or tens of, you know, 50s of different types of opportunities where you can focus your time and resources. With Finovate every year, it makes us kind of sit down as an executive team with the tech team to say what's going to make the most meaningful impact to help us grow our business. And typically the Finovate show helps us to focus that, force us to develop a product in a relatively short amount of time, get it stage ready, and go through the iterations very quickly. Another huge benefit we got from Finovate was connecting with the right audience that was alluded to before. In Canada, with the fundraising, there isn't a lot of focused fintech, early stage, mid stage venture money. Our first show at Finovate really helped us to connect with the right audience. And we were approached right away by some very big players in the financial services space who were very interested in working with us on a commercial basis, on an investment basis, and that's part of the reason why we're launching Q1 of next year.
Fantastic. So tell me about what you guys have planned as a company over the next few months.
Yes, so there's lots of technology iterations for us as we continue to build out the mobile extension to our system. Sales finance is not a new industry. It's been an industry that has been around in North America for 30 plus years.
To be very process heavy and paper driven today, right?
Absolutely. And the big players in that marketplace, the Wells Fargo Financials, the HSBC Finances, the GEs, most of those players ended up retreating from the North American marketplace after the 2007 crash and the freezing up of the secondary market for securitization. And it created an opportunity to really shake up the sales finance industry. It is now the fastest growing consumer lending product area in the consumer lending landscape in North America right now. Double digit, quarter over quarter growth in that category. And it's because there are these new emerging players who are going in and kind of rewriting the rules of how that industry is traditionally operated. So our partners are actually banks. We're not a balance sheet lender. We partner with banks on the back end, and we become the innovator on their behalf in the marketplace. And that's
so you're innovating acquisition as well for them.
That's correct, right. And really trying to change that workflow on the front end to make it paperless, to use mobile technology, to embed into e-commerce sites. That's a very non-traditional way of looking at sales finance.
Yeah, and back just to add to that point, you know, we took the peer-to-peer infrastructure, you know, where it was individual consumers applying for loans and then, you know, individual investors lending money and replaced the individuals with institutional capital banks on the lending side to help as we scale more efficiently. And then instead of individual credit seekers applying for loans, we partner with merchants to provide financing at the point of sale. And in that situation, it's a completely different profile of consumer. The financing is sold. You get better credit quality consumer who's using it to buy something like a car, like an asset, as opposed to debt consolidation, for example.
Great. Well, look, guys, if you can stick around at the close of the show, I want you to think about 5 to 10 years out what this business is going to be like and how lending, particularly integrated into the merchant experience, is going to look in sort of 5 to 10 years with wearables and Google Glass and all this sort of really interesting technology. You can stick around, can you?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Thanks
for having me, Sean. Fantastic. So after the break, we're going to come back. We're going to talk to another Finovate performer for this New York show from FlexScore, Jeff Burrow. We'll be back right after this break. Keep those questions coming in via Twitter or dial into the number that you're going to hear over the ad break. Thanks. You're listening to Breaking Banks.
Always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
What does conscious leadership mean to you? It unites organizations instead of dividing them. By exploring commonly based business challenges, it guarantees an increase in your bottom line. Tune in to Minding Our Business, Creating a Spiritual Economy with your host, Nadine Rogers. Each week, we'll hear from business leaders and learn from their strategies. We'll talk about personal and organizational best practices that you can learn from, and we'll hear from you. Minding Our Business airs live Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Business. In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait. They just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Maynard. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back from the break. I'm Brett King, your host on Breaking Banks. Just a reminder, if you are tweeting some questions into the show, we have had a few come in today, use the hashtag Breaking Banks. And that'll help us get your question to the top of the queue. We have a bunch of people from around the country listening to us today. I want to welcome Jason Cobb, who gave us a shout-out from Indianapolis, Adam Edge, Mike King with a H from Bankwide. That's an inside joke. And we've got a few others. Jim Bruins said hello as well, your pal Eric. And we have Brian Claggett, you know, a bunch of people on the Twitter stream today. Of course, Jim Morales, who's going to be on our show next week, also listening in. So it's great to have our regular Twitter listeners. At this point in time, it's time to introduce another Finovate demoer participant in the upcoming Fall New York show. Just a reminder, the date of that show is on September 10th and the 11th. At this point, I'd like to introduce you to Jeff Burrow. Jeff is with a company called FlexScore. You're based out in San Francisco, Jeff. Tell us a little bit about FlexScore, about yourself, how you came up with the concept, and what you guys are doing out there.
Sure. Thanks, Brett. Yeah, my co-founder, Jason Gordo, and I, we have been in the financial planning business for combined about 27 years, and our background is Wall Street, where we worked for very well-known companies that catered to a little more typically higher net worth, on average, clientele. And through the years, Jason and I continued to see that for profit reasons, you know, these Wall Street names could not help the average American. And where we happen to live in the Central Valley of California, there were a lot more average Americans than, let's just say, higher net worth Americans. So we thought there's got to be a better way to serve people. We went independent, left the Wall Street model, and became registered investment advisors directly through the Securities Exchange Commission in 2008. And shortly thereafter, started developing an idea that people can do financial planning on their own if we could make it more simple. If we can come up with a comprehensive framework where they understand the steps they're taking, how much progress that will give them. Financial planning, the really tough part about it is the decisions that you make, you don't see the payoff or the pain, right? Sometimes you make bad financial decisions until a few years down the road. And so we thought, what if we can come up with a way to give someone, let's say, a score that tells them how well they're doing currently and gives them action steps to take to improve that score over time. So what we created is what we call the Flex Score. And it's a 1,000-point system that allows people to know where they stand currently. And then it gives them the action steps that will give them the most points, whether it's improving their life insurance or making sure they withhold a little more in taxes or improving their investment portfolio. There's a lot of moving parts, and we thought if we can make financial planning more simple to understand and fun, frankly, gamify it, it would be something that we could provide to the masses and help a lot of people. I think we've done that.
So what's the revenue model behind FlexScore?
So the revenue model, there's really three sources of revenue. Direct to the consumer. Someone can go on to FlexScore, sign up. We're in beta right now. In fact, we just debuted the technology in our site in the Spring Finovate Conference in San Francisco in May. And so as part of the beta, a lot of people are signing up. I've got thousands of people that are on there. And there is no fee to use the service. If you want to improve your score, though, there are things that people need to do. Now, if they want to choose to get life insurance, well, we have partners that they can click through to get life insurance through the partners directly through our website. However, they can still get life insurance if they have, let's say, a brother-in-law who is a life insurance agent. If they go ahead and improve their insurance and update their profile showing that, they still get the points. But our business model is showing that a lot of people want to do it more conveniently. They feel it's more objective to just do it that way. Whereas sometimes if you go to a life insurance agent, it's kind of like they've got a hammer looking for a nail. They only have one way to solve your problem, and that's giving you more insurance. So people can make that choice on their own, and we get paid directly through those referrals with our partners. The other two ways are through the enterprise of banks and large companies that serve customers, whether it's a credit card company, a brokerage company. They want to better engage their customers. And so offering a service like ours, a scoring system, allows them to have better engaged clients and people that are doing business with them. So they pay to license our technology, and we're actually in talks with quite a few companies right now.
So tell me about you mentioned you demoed at Finovate in spring, and you're getting ready for your demo in New York. Tell me about what you guys are going to demonstrate at the show coming up next week in New York.
Yeah, so, you know, the format is very clear-cut, 7 minutes, and it's a demo. You know, this is not a PowerPoint where you can kind of point to a screen and talk about doing it. So we're literally going to take the audience through one or two action steps where the user we're going to have up there, the profile, you will see them reward. They're going to literally take action and earn points and move forward with their flex score. That is something that we can accomplish in a few minutes. And obviously, we're going to show some more of the simple steps, things that take a little longer we don't have time for. But after that, we're going to show briefly the newest technology that we call the Breakdown. Breakdown is a really neat tool that takes your current score. Again, it's out of 1,000 points. So let's just say somebody's a 450. And it allows you to modify using a slider back and forth on the screen different parts of your financial life. What if you start saving more today? How is that going to improve your score immediately? What if you paid down debt? What if you bought a car versus, you know, a brand new car versus bought a used car? You know, these sorts of choices people want to model and know how that's going to affect them. But as I said before, sometimes they don't know until 4 or 5 years down the road. So this Breakdown tool gives you that immediate effect using a scoring system in front of you, and we're going to show that on stage.
Eric, can I just get you to jump in here? Talking about the 7-minute demo format, just on a point at Jeff's comment there, he said we're not going to do a PowerPoint. It's not a PowerPoint presentation. My understanding is you actually ban PowerPoint from the demo. So tell us about how, as an organization, Finovates helps organizations get ready for that 7-minute demo period. What do you guys do leading up to the show to make sure that those participants really, you know, hit their stride or make maximum impact in that 7 minutes?
Sure. We do actually ban PowerPoint. Our goal is to have live demonstrations of new innovative technology. So we work closely, because it is an uncommon format, we work closely with all of our presenters to help them optimize their presentation for that format. There's a number of in-depth coaching calls. There's a rehearsal right before the event. And we really, I mean, we've seen, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these demos now, and really have a good grasp, we think, of what makes for a great demo. You know, there is some devil in the details of how you turn that into, you know, to take the concepts and actually implement them. But I think as you know, the Finance It team pointed out, and I would guess that Jeff and his co-founder Jason, if Jason was here, would tell you that there is something really magical about when you can focus your message down to those 7 minutes, and that there are huge benefits sort of across the entrepreneurial organization to have narrowed it to those 7 minutes. It changes how you write marketing copy. It changes what you do from a product development standpoint. And so we work closely because we think that not only does it make Finovate a great show and help the presenters and the audience, but it also actually drives innovation forward because it helps clarify those messages and thus help, you know, these innovative organizations that are at Finovate be more successful.
So I don't want to go too far away from FlexScore, but we had a great comment just come in from Brad Limer, who's out in the Bay Area as well. He said, Eric, what was your favorite demo from Finovate over the years? Which one created the most buzz? What do you think's the secret sauce?
You know, it's a great question. I have favorite demos from every show. I think...
Does that align itself with best in show normally?
Not necessarily. You know, I think that there are best of show winners that resonate with the audience for particular reasons. They're not necessarily the one that's my favorite. And I think that's true. I mean, if you look at best of show voting at any Finovate, every company gets, you know, votes. It's is a favorite of a chunk of the audience. And then there are a few that sort of rise up. You know, I think that the ones that most stick out in my mind are the ones that bring that tremendous entrepreneurial passion up on stage with them. And I think, you know, if you watch the videos of FlexScore or Finance It, they do this incredibly well, you know, and I love seeing that passion shine. And then I just love seeing innovation on stage. And that's one of the neatest aspects of our job. Is sort of watching those innovations shine, and then, you know, hearing the success stories. But for me, it's that energy where the person walks off and it's just an absolute high. I sort of want Red Bull to sponsor Finovate because I think it would be a great fit in a lot of ways.
Good idea.
Yeah. So Jeff, tell us a bit more about what you hope to achieve from Finovate this year.
Sure. Finovate is great. The conference itself is two different industries coming together. If you think about it, you don't find that in a lot of places. I've been to a ton of financial conferences, and I pretty much know what I'm going to get. Not a whole lot of innovation, a lot of talk about the same things. But you have a technology conference combined with financial things that sometimes people don't understand, but it's the innovative part. It's the new sizzle that is showing up.
It does take a particular beast to be both finance and technology focused, right?
No question. And Brett, you know that for sure. There are so many people there. I'll tell you a good example of the kind of audience that not only we connected with in the spring, but we hope to next week in New York. There are major, major banks, and the companies that approached us asked us to sign non-disclosures, and so I can't tell you their names, but I'll just say they're certainly names people would recognize.
I guess.
But beyond that, you can guess. You can't do that. But one of the things that was very interesting is the worldwide representation there. We've already seen it's not just North America, you know, the U.S. and Canada. There are people there from everywhere. And I am not joking when I say the Minister of Finance for Germany came up to us and said, I really enjoyed your presentation. I'd like to have a conversation about using your technology in my country. I can tell you this, normal conferences, that sort of audience does not walk up and say those things. So Finovate is an opportunity beyond the normal conference. And that 7-minute demo, once you've got it dialed in, is a great opportunity to show the new sizzle that people aren't going to see anywhere else.
Eric, tell me about, you talked about the attendees, but tell me about some of the more interesting attendees that come to the event.
Well, I think it's important to understand that one of the great things about being an innovation-focused event is you get people who want to see new stuff. You're selling to an audience, you're talking to an audience that is really excited about it.
They're passionate. They're passionate.
And that is just amazing. And it is a very international audience. It's, you know, diverse, as I talked about, in role, from investors to regulators to bankers. You know, it's senior, it's people who can actually make innovation happen. And really, so what we love most of all is that it really can have so much impact for a company, you know, whether they're looking for partners or investors or feedback from industry analysts or press story in the Wall Street Journal or whatever it is. You know, I think it's really exciting to just sort of see all of the impact it can have on a particular company because we have this top tier, really influential audience in the room.
Fantastic. Well, Jeff, Eric, both stick around after the break. One thing I will say, Eric, is that one of the measures of an event like this is simply Twitter stream traffic. You know, mm-hmm. from mainstream banking events, you don't get Twitter traffic. Innovators mm-hmm. are on social media and they tweet, and Finovate probably gets, you know, is one of those events that gets a ton of Twitter traffic. So that I think that says a lot. We'll be back right after the break talking about the future of the industry and future of Finovation. Right back after the break.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Did you know that at the root of every business problem lies a communication issue? Communication Nation, a show that brings effective business communication practices to the masses, addresses a number of topics and talking points that impact your professional development, as well as business productivity and profitability. Host Jill Schiffelbein makes the theoretical tangible. Tune in each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Be ready to become a better communicator with Communication Nation. Our workplace is dynamically changing. How do you stay ahead of the curve with respect to learning and training? Tune in every week to The Future of Workforce Learning and Development with host Pamela Robinson. You'll learn about real-world strategies, solutions, and resources that will showcase these changes and keep you ready for what's next. The Future of Workforce Learning and Development is heard live every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Breaking Banks.
featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. Brad Limer likes my my comment about the Twitter traffic, cognizant with the rate of innovation of a particular finance conference. But, Eric, just talking about the event itself, there's a big question mark over how social and community streaming and sort of digital interaction is going to change the nature of conferences. There's a number of conferences who are struggling these days based on the old model of the trade shows and sponsorship and, these vendors getting up and doing their thing. How long is it going to go on for, this Finovate, process? What's it going to be like in 5 to 10 years?
I think it will look similar. I think there is still a very human element to events, and that can't be completely replaced by Twitter or social networking yet. Will it change eventually? Quite possibly. But, I think for the near term, the 5 or 10 year horizon, I think there's still something very human that is fed by being in the same room and shaking someone's hand and looking them in the eye and really talking about innovation. But I do think the back channel of social networking and online becomes more and more important, and that collaboration for driving innovation becomes more and more important. And certainly we are working on some things in that area. And, if we had a whole other show, we could probably spend an hour talking about that.
Yeah, have you guys thought about creating sort of actually an incubation process or a fund or, trying to actually get in and stimulate some of this innovation a bit more directly?
We have. I would say that we sort of view it as a conflict of interest.
Okay.
There are certainly some people out there in the greater tech industry that have done that. But, every day we have innovators, trusting us with their new thing and telling us their most cutting edge ideas. And we feel like if we start having favorite children, it potentially reduces our ability to put together great Finovates.
Yeah, that's a good point. So let's go to Casper and Michael. Tell us, guys, in terms of the technology you're working on, let's put our futurist hat on right now. And
sure.
Think 5 to 10 years out. I'm a consumer. I walk into a store. I'd like to buy something. I don't have the cash. What's this interaction going to be like? Let's say I walk into a car dealership and I've got my Google glasses on or something. How's this all going to sit and work?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we'd all look at you strangely because you're wearing Google glasses in the...
In 10 years, are you going to look at me strangely?
Depending. I guess it really depends on the model. Well, I tell you what, I think it's a great question, and we do the same thing. I think the biggest innovation, and I know Casper's got his own idea, but for us, the biggest innovation area that I see every day is around the payment space. So if you think about the payment space that we have today, you've got a Visa, you've got cash, you've got a Visa or a MasterCard or an Amex, and those are essentially your options, right, in that payment space today. And there's lots of innovative technology that's built around taking that and porting it to an e-commerce site, or taking that and porting it to a telephone so that you've got, you can use your telephone, again, using those same payment networks on the back end, but there's some sort of widget that allows innovation on the front end. I think the next big innovation in the payment space is a brand new network. So a network that is directly competitive with Visa, MasterCard, Amex, and or cash, that it is a network that is created through an account opening process not so dissimilar, selfishly, to what we create at point of sale, and that network will then begin to be directly competitive with those payment networks that today are very expensive for merchants and very expensive for consumers to carry balances. I think there's a huge opportunity in that space, and technology is going to make it very easy for someone to be ubiquitous. We hope it's us.
Yeah, and to add to that, my kind of big 5 to 10 year vision for innovation in lending and payments and financial services ties to that, which is, we spend a lot of time trying to refine and simplify the process, the application process. For our iPad app, we developed a driver's license barcode scanner so, customers don't have to type in their information. What I'd love to see is a world where payments and approvals are done through biometrics like a retina scan, where credit cards and plastic and wallets are no longer in existence, and, you know, databases and identity are just linked automatically through that type of process. I think, you know, that would be really interesting. I think that's a future that could happen.
You know, but I think part of it is this challenge of actually when I walk into a store, you know, absolutely there's friction in the application process. But I think the other question is, can I afford to buy this? You know, that's a big part of the decision-making process, which lenders don't, you know, currently focus on. There's no value add there. It's more about the, you know, should I give you money? You know, it's this thing where the hurdle is, well, look, let me find out some information about you, and maybe if you're lucky and you're not too risky, we'll lend you some money, right? Yeah. So, you know, I think that's pretty important. So maybe that might be a good lead into Jeff. Jeff, in terms of the advice component of this, and, you know, the financial planning is one thing, but really it's that tactical day-to-day spending decisions and savings decisions and those moments in our life that at the end of the day all add up to whether or not we're going to be financially healthy in the future or not. So tell us 5 to 10 years out, you know, how is advice going to be delivered in a more real-time tactical basis?
Advice today is becoming tactical by virtue of the smartphone community where people can have information in front of them. But there's a big distinction between information and advice, and that's what we're trying to bring with FlexScore is actual information regarding your personal financial planning. So you can pull up your phone and it'll tell you action steps that you need to take. And the analogy I like to use is, I know that if I eat something that's a little bit too sweet, has a little bit too much fat in it, I'll probably see the effects of that on my waistline. But doing that time and time again with really no framework around your long-term, you know, health, suddenly it's going to catch up with you. And that's the problem today. Financial planning doesn't have a way to engage people, to make it fun, to make it understandable. And that's what FlexScore is trying to do. So 5 to 10 years down the road, I would love to have an industry standard. You know, we have a patented algorithm. Maybe that's a great start. The industry needs to have standards that are objective. And that way the insurance industry doesn't talk only about insurance and the investment industry doesn't always talk about investment performance. We actually can have some middle of the road conversations where everybody has access to objective information right in front of them.
Very, very interesting. I think you're right. I think it's going to, you know, data. We talk about big data a lot. I think the trick is going to be rich data. You know, what are we going to do with the data and how does it change customers' lives and how does it change businesses' lives from the perspective they put on risk? Eric, just in the last couple of minutes we've got before we close, tell us what else is happening with Finovate over the next 12 months.
You know, Finovate continues to grow. Obviously, we have the show next week. You know, in November, we're going back to Asia. We've just announced the presenter roster there. We're incredibly excited. We've got a ton of interesting things, you know, from across the Asian region that we're excited to showcase. You know, then February, we're back in London. And then next spring, we're back in the Bay Area. So, you know, the cycle continues, innovation continues, and we are just incredibly excited to see, you know, where does the next 5 or 10 years take us? You know, whether it's industry standards or whether it's, you know, Google Glasses or whatnot, we think it's a really exciting time to be in the financial technology industry in any way.
Fantastic. Well, Eric, thank you for joining us. Thanks for helping us line up FlexScore and finance it to join the show. Casper, Michael, Jeff, thank you all for joining the show today. It's been a great look. I hope if you're listening in, make sure if you are going to Finovate next week, make sure you shout out about it on Twitter. Next week, we've also got a great show talking about the fee structures in retail banking and how the free checking account is being displaced by sort of these value-added services. We have Dr. Dan Geller and Jim Morales on the show next week, so please join us for that one as well. If you've been listening in, make sure Breaking Banks hashtag, keep participating. We love your participation. And make sure you look out for Finovate next week with the Finovate hashtag and Finovate on Twitter as well. That's with one N in case you're checking. That's been Breaking Banks, another great show. Thank you all for listening in. And thank you to Eric and the team for joining us talking about Finovate and financial innovation. That's Breaking Banks, and I'm Brett King.
You've been listening to Breaking Banks with host Brett King. Please be sure to join us again next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll explore more changes and challenges next week.